The Bluebirds were in action, of course, on the weekend and got a very much needed win at home to Sheffield Wednesday. We'll be talking about that. Two huge away games coming up this week at Brighton tomorrow night and Blackpool live on Sky on Friday evening. And of course, lots and lots still going on with the managerial merry-go-round. Russell Slade still not appointed as manager of Cardiff City, but you'd expect that is going to happen any time soon. Vincent Tan has been on Sky Sports giving his latest thoughts. We'll be talking about that as well. Please give us a call in the studio, 01443 654 654. The number to call, 01443 654 654. Yeah, good evening. Welcome to Monday night's Cardiff City Phone In on GTFM 107.9. My name is Mark Watkins, and joining me in the studio this evening is City fan and committee member of Cardiff City Supporters Club, Gwilym Rees. Hi, Gwilym.
Evening, Mark.
Good to have you on the show, Gwil. Last week we didn't talk much about football because, let's be honest, the football wasn't really worth talking about, but a decent performance on Saturday.
Yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it, particularly the second half. The players knuckled down, that they obviously sat down and thought about the consequences of what had happened the previous Tuesday against Bournemouth, which is absolutely dire, as bad as I've seen the first half. And a different group of players were picked, but they did well. It was an entertaining game, created a few chances. There was the passion, the will, and a bit of spirit was there. And I think the fans latched onto that. And it was nice to go on a Saturday evening with a W.
A win, yeah, indeed. And Sheffield Wednesday, although they didn't really look anything spectacular on Saturday, they were unbeaten away from home, apart from obviously a bit of a thumping in midweek in the Capital One Cup. So they came to Cardiff with some confidence. And you did wonder, didn't you, when they got that equaliser in the second half, whether it was all going to crumble around us. But City seemed to dig in, got away with it on one or two occasions, but then found themselves back in control of the game.
Yeah, I'd agree with all that, Mark. A turning point, very early in the game, I think Fabio's goal line clearance was as good as I've seen. Fantastic goal line clearance. I wonder what the mindset would have been if Sheffield had gone one up at that stage. Cardiff settled down after that, got the first goal. It was good to see Morrison heading a pinpoint crossing from Whittingham. And then he went through his own net in the second half, didn't he? And like you said, they had the determination to raise their game after that setback and go and get the 3 points. And it was good to see Pilkington get the winner as well, because he hasn't been one of my favourite players this season. But fair play, improved performance by him personally, and he took his goal really well.
Yeah, and you mentioned Fabio there, and it's all ifs and buts, of course, but the Norwich game where we went 2-0 up and played some lovely football in that first 30 minutes, Fabio hobbled off, and on came Declan John, and the whole world came crashing down around not just the football team on the pitch, but also Ole Gunnar Solskjaer after that game, really. That was really the writing was on the wall after that collapse. I just wonder if Fabio hadn't have picked up that injury in that first half against Norwich, whether we might have hung on, dug in, and got a win, and it could all be different now.
Yeah, casting my mind back to the Norwich game, Mark, Fabio was he was good going forward in that particular game, but just prior to half time, he started to get skinned a bit down the down his side of the field. And again, Cardiff were very good for 30 minutes against Norwich, but I think the 15 minutes prior to half time, to me, the writing was on the wall. And then they did cave in afterwards. And Declan John, in fairness to him, he had very little support. I think it was Makeda playing in front of him that day. And frankly, he wasn't fit enough. He was no support at all for young Declan. And the youngster had a raw deal at the end of the day in a bad second half performance generally.
It's strange, isn't it? Because he came into the team last year in the Premier League, which was obviously tough, and we were getting beaten fairly regularly. But he was still getting lots of plaudits for his performances. Digging in defensively as best he could, and when we were up against it, and getting forward with the ball well. In some ways, the Championship perhaps even more unforgiving for a young defender trying to make his way, because certainly Norwich seemed to target him, didn't they, by getting the ball wide, and suddenly now he's out of the equation, I would think.
nearly all the teams this season have targeted our left back as opposed to Brayford. Yeah, with Declan John. Mark, I'm not even sure if the guy's a left back. I think he's a left mid myself. Obviously he used to be a winger. My other slight frustration with him, and we got to remember his age, and he's an up and coming professional. He doesn't seem to have the confidence to actually take somebody on and whip the ball in. What I find is he gets himself into a good position, but he'll choose the pass back option.
Yeah.
And it just slows the whole move down. Whereas I think, you know, if you try and beat a fullback two or three times, if you beat him once and whip the ball in, I think it's got to be better than what he's doing currently, where he's in a good position, passes the ball back, the whole move slows down, and nothing seems to come of it. But
And to counter that, Fabio, who probably come into a lot of criticism last season, didn't really shine after Solskjaer brought him in, has been probably one of the players of the season so far.
Well, he's a Brazilian with a trick, isn't he?
Yeah.
Some of his ball skills are absolutely amazing. Yeah, he is suspect defensively. Mm. Look, if we went back to the Premiership, I'm sure he'd be exposed defensively again. What Fabio needs is to be playing week in, week out. In fairness to him, he certainly wasn't at Man United. I don't know how many reserve games he was playing, but he wasn't really in their squad, was he?
No.
When he came to us, he was in and out of ours, and he plays every week now, and he obviously benefits from that. But no, I love watching him. There is a defensive weakness there. There's no doubt.
Do you think there's any merit with people like Declan John? You say you don't think he's necessarily a defender, and I probably agree with you. But people like Declan John and Fabio that do like getting forward with the ball. Is there a possibility that the sort of the Man United system now that Van Gaal has brought in with the three centre halves and then the two fullbacks pretty much playing as wingers for much of the game hasn't quite worked out for Man U yet, obviously. But do you think there might be some merit in playing three centre halves? You know.
Well, I'll take your word for the Man United bit, Mark, because I don't watch them. But playing three centre halves, we got enough centre halves. We could do, couldn't we? You know, we got a whole load of centre halves. I'm sure the centre halves would be happy. But no, Fabio and Declan John to me would be better playing it starting at more advanced roles,
yeah,
rather than having them kind of last line of defence.
Okay, we're going to go to the first caller tonight. We've got Peter Hill on the line, I believe. Hiya, Peter.
Hiya, boys.
Good evening. Good to have you on the show, Peter. What's your topic of conversation for this evening, Pete?
A nice back four.
A nice back... Well, just what we've been talking about. How about the back four that started Saturday? Were you reasonably impressed with it?
Very impressed with it. Compared with last Tuesday, that was diabolical.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just gave up on last Tuesday's game, didn't they? I certainly gave up on it. I didn't even go down. I was listening on the radio and turned off at halftime.
I think last Tuesday, I think Carla, it was probably the worst performance I've ever seen by a centre-half in my life. He didn't pass the ball accurately on one occasion. He missed his tackles, he was fouling. And Gabadon was Mr. Casual and making mistakes. You know, he hasn't played for 6 months. What is he, 35, 36-year-old? Yeah. He came back into the side for that particular game and he got caught napping on numerous occasions. So, the problem last Tuesday were the centre-backs, basically.
We've got a good centre-half there now, this new guy.
Yeah, Manga, yeah, really like him.
Quite impressive. He plays a bit of football as well.
Yeah, well, he's. I think Arsenal were after him, and he's played numerous games for his country. To me, he looks the part. He's a ball player. He puts his foot in. Mark noted he wasn't that great in the air last week.
Second half on Saturday, the chap next to me was quite critical of him. He said he's not winning anything in the air this half. So I actually watched him, and he was right. He didn't win hardly anything in the air in the second half.
He had a big lump up front, though, didn't
they? They did, yeah. And Morrison, to be fair, compliments him because Morrison's 6'4" or whatever, and he looked dangerous from set pieces. Well, obviously he scored a cracking goal, but Morrison, you'd like to think, wouldn't you, now that hopefully Russell Slade will, when he does come in eventually, I think he is going to come in, will say, right, we need a settle back four, because that's one of the most important things you need, isn't it? Is a defence that, they know each other's games. And you think that Manga and Morrison will be, and that harsh on Connolly, who's probably been one of our best players so far this season. But
Connolly didn't even make the bench on Saturday. Is he injured?
We were asking the same question. I don't know. It was odd. You'd have thought he deserved his place on the bench because he can cover it. He can cover it right back. Certainly, I'm not so sure about left back. But
they played him at left back one game,
and it didn't
they?
Work, did it?
No.
So Manga and Morrison, do you think they're the partnership?
They can gel. If they gel, we've got a winning pack, winning combination there, which we need. But I still don't like that when we score a goal, we funnel back. I think that still gets at my goat.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when Slade does come, how he's going to set the team up. Certainly, reading interviews, etc., with Orient fans, they seem to think that he favours 4-4-2 and rarely deviates from it. If he's going to play that system, he needs the right combination, particularly in midfield, doesn't he?
Well,
because
we're
weak
boys.
In midfield, aren't we? We're lacking an enforcer, somebody like we mentioned before we came on air, Guillaume, Degachwi or Dikachoy, whatever you pronounce his name. You know, they need to work on getting him fit, certainly.
Oh yeah, and that Morrison came on Saturday, and he was really good.
Fantastic talent. You reminded me a bit of Kumas. In fact, I think he's potentially the most exciting player we've had down there since Kumas. His ball skill was second to none. I think he'll get us a goal as well. He nearly did on Saturday. And, you know, he's a Premiership player, comfortably playing in the Championship. So, I think we'll enjoy him until Boxing Day when he has his trial shortly after that, doesn't he?
Please tell him not to dribble out of defence.
Yeah,
pants off us.
That was a bit of a heart in mouth moment, wasn't it, Peter?
But he's still got the skill. His skill is superb.
Yeah.
And he created the third goal, which we never had because we're offside. But that was really a good bit of play from him.
But what I noticed more, when he came on, it took the responsibility off the shoulders of people like Whittingham, and if you noticed, and Pilkington as well. When Ravi Morrison came on, their games actually improved. And I think it was because there was obviously a major talent there. And the other guys were comfortable contributing, playing second fiddle, whereas previously they'd been the kind of the main players. I'm excited about this guy now for the next few months.
What's your thoughts, Peter, on Russell Slade?
You can't do worse. I love Solskjaer's a great guy, lovely personality, but he's way out of his depth.
Yeah,
he wanted him to succeed, and he just couldn't. This guy's been lower. He knows his football skills. We've had the top. We paid a lot of money for Solskjaer. This bloke's not going to... He's going to come a lot cheaper than Solskjaer. And if he gets the job done, all well and good. I think he might be a surprise package for us. I hope he is.
I think he's very much an unknown quantity, isn't he? You know, he's certainly got a reputation for being very good at motivating players. I said to Guillaume before we went on air, sometimes it can be a different method to motivate lower division players than maybe potentially big time Charlies. I'm not necessarily accusing our players of being big time Charlies, but players have been it, seen it, done it on a lot more money than like the likes of Leighton Orient players. That might be a challenge for him that he can rise to. I suppose at the moment we're all a little bit in the dark, aren't we, to know if Russell Slade's going to turn out to be a breath of fresh air, or whether it'll take us in the wrong direction again.
But you can't do worse than Solskjaer.
No.
Yeah, I think his biggest problem is he's got at least 30 professionals down there. We haven't got a reserve league, so to speak, for people over 21s. And his problem's going to be managing the 15 odd players that don't get into his Saturday squad. That'll be his problem. I think the players he pick will be fine, but he's going to have a lot of talent. Not getting a kick on a Saturday, that's going to be his issue.
Well, that showed last Tuesday. It was a match, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. Yeah, yeah.
Like you said, Carla didn't do nothing.
And the other person I was really disappointed with last Tuesday was Javi Guerra. I've seen every Cardiff match this season, and I've seen glimpses of this guy, and every time I've seen him, to me, he's been the most talented forward we've seen, albeit I've only seen him for kind of three lots of 20 minutes or whatever. He played particularly well up at Port Vale, albeit they're a lower league club. And when he was in the starting lineup against Bournemouth, I was excited about seeing him, but he had an absolute stinker.
He had a punt early on, though, didn't he?
I miss that. If it, you know, if he had an injury, fine. But I miss that. But he was shocking thereafter.
I know you are.
Yeah. I'd agree with Gwilym there as well. From what I've seen of him in fits and starts, he has looked to be, you know, the one player that has a fantastic touch and great promise. And the fact that he scored goals in La Liga, you know, and has a career of scoring goals in La Liga, because he's not a youngster, is he? 31, 32.
Yeah,
you just wonder whether he thinks he's made the wrong move and his head's now not in the right place, which is not very good for Cardiff City. But there must be surely a reason why he didn't seem interested last week.
I don't think anyone was interested last Tuesday night, to be honest.
Yeah, it was disappointing because it was an opportunity for them, wasn't it? You know, they would have gone on that pitch last Tuesday. You would think, the next manager would have been watching them. That they'd have had that motivation to play well. And you know, a lot of them didn't take it. In fairness, when he made the substitutions, it was a much more even game. You know, Matt Darley came on. There's another player. You know, he's Premiership quality. And you know, after he came on last week, it was last Tuesday. It was 0-0, wasn't it? It was he came on at 3-0 down, and the game was much more even. But disappointing to come out of the League Cup last week.
Peter, two huge away games coming up at Brighton tomorrow night and Blackpool live on the TV on Friday. What do you think our prospects are?
Good. Better than what they were last Tuesday.
Do you think he'll stick with the same lineup?
They should do.
Because of the two games so far, Scott Young and Gabaldon have two league games so far. They preferred a 5-4-1 with Cameron Jones on his own up front. Seems to have worked reasonably well. Although we did surrender a tremendous amount of pressure against possession against Derby. We had so little of the ball, but certainly on Saturday it worked. So same again.
Same again, and I'll have Ravel Morrison on the bench and Connolly.
Gwil?
Yeah, I'd go same again. And I don't know if people picked up on it, but there was a young lad, Tom James, was on the bench Saturday. Now, I've watched a bit of the developments, and I think is he a fullback?
I thought he's a fullback. Yeah.
Yeah, he's a fullback. So that was it. That was an interesting selection. In fact, before we come on air, Mark was saying that we could do with one or two of the players that are out on loan back with us, and Mark pointed out that McNaughton, we haven't got cover at fullback really. So he would be a good one to get back, and Mason's scoring for fun as well, isn't it? But going back to the question, no, I'd stick to the same team and get Morrison on there earlier.
Good idea.
Give us a prediction for tomorrow then, Peter.
We always draw down there. We always win at Blackpool.
Oof, do we? When was the last time we won at Blackpool?
Last season.
When we went up. We went 4-1
up. Yeah. I thought we drew when we went up.
No, we
both played them and drew. Outplayed him and drew.
I'm sure he beat him 4-1 or 3-1.
Did Tommy Smith score a great goal up there?
Yeah.
Put it a winning goal?
Oh, yeah, we possibly did.
Yeah. I think the last twice we've been up there, I think we've drawn and won.
I think we drew. Anyway. Peter, thanks for coming on the show as always.
Thanks a lot.
Good to have you on.
Thanks for tomorrow and in safe journeys if you go.
Brilliant. Cheers, Peter.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
That's Peter Hill on tonight's Cardiff City phone-in on GTFM 107.9. Please give us your calls, 01443 654 654. Love to get you on air tonight, 01443 654 654, if you want to get through to myself and Gwil here in the studio. Anything to do with Cardiff City, and we'll talk about it. I'm going to mention Wales because some terribly devastating news if you're a Wales supporter. It looks as if Aaron Ramsey's hamstring injury, which he picked up on the weekend, is going to keep him out for 4 weeks, which means he misses the two forthcoming huge, huge home games, home to Bosnia and home to Cyprus in a couple of weeks' time. Devastating, isn't it, really, Gwil?
Absolutely. Yeah, those two. You know, Bosnia is, I think it's the key, that Bosnia at home is the key match in the group, and I would say the second match then is Cyprus, and we got them in a 4-day period without one of our best players, and I absolutely gutted. And I understand Joe Allen's struggling as well,
yeah.
Which, you know, it's so unlucky for Wales, but I don't know why we're surprised by it. It happens every tournament.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, someone like Gareth Bale, even on his own, can win a match. So, you know, let's keep our fingers and toes and everything else crossed that Bale will be fit.
Another big loss there is Vokes as well.
Yes.
You know, Simon Church is an international standard. Yeah, you know, I don't think he even gets into the Charlton side.
No. You wonder actually whether he'd be better off with the Fulham youngster Lawrence.
I'd be better off with Earnshaw. Yeah, at least he can, you know.
Is he playing football now, Earnshaw?
Yeah, he's Earnshaw. He's knocking the goals in America, yeah.
Is he? Yeah, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's another option, isn't it? Well, I don't know whether Coleman even considers it, but
he's not the long-term answer, is he? But if he can get a chance, I would fancy him to score it more than Simon Church.
Yeah, Church does look out of his depth. He doesn't play football, does he? At the end of the day, you need to be playing football regularly. And I suppose that, you know, defensively, we've got a number of good squad players, you know, in a Welsh squad playing regularly in the Premier League. So
yeah, good depth at fullback. You know, Ashley Williams is a solid centre half, isn't he? And I think. Not sure about the goalkeeper, mind. I don't think Hennessy's as good as he was.
Not
he?
Playing football, is he? Again, well, another one that's not playing regularly. A good keeper, but you need to be sharp and playing first-team football, I think, to be able to be called upon, in a decent standard international game. Mm. Very, very disappointing. Let's hope Ramsey comes back, you know, fitter and stronger than ever, because he's just as important as Bale, really, isn't he, in the Welsh lineup?
Oh, yeah, he is, man, undoubtedly.
Okay, let's go back to the course, and I think we've got Badger on the line. Hiya, Badger.
Hi, good evening. How
good
are you
evening.
Guys, all right?
Yeah, not bad. How's yourself, Badger?
Yeah, better after the weekend's result.
Yeah, it was a good performance, wasn't it? Much improved.
It was much improved. There was a lot of pride put in the badge. There was a lot of, seemed to be more things, but I think Scott Young and Daniel Gabaldon have done it. A good job. I know Russell Sage was in the stand, so maybe they thought they had to impress him as well. But for a man at the back, he looks best £5 million we've ever spent on a player.
Well, it's a lot of money for a defender in the Championship, isn't it? But, you know, certainly everyone's thoughts on him so far have been pretty positive. And you think if you can get the defence right, then it certainly helps you get the rest of the team right. And Morrison and Manga looked a decent partnership together on Saturday. As I've mentioned, you know, it's a bit of bad luck for Connolly, who's done nothing wrong so far.
No, I don't know why Connolly won in the squad or on the bench. I don't know what he's done to. I was surprised to see Morrison in, because I thought Connolly's been outstanding this season.
Yeah.
I don't know the reasons behind him not playing, but.
And according to Vincent Tan in his interview with Sky Sports today, Russell Slade is currently in a consultant role whilst they're trying to iron out the legal issues about appointing him manager with Leighton Orient. In his consultant role, I just wonder how much influence he had. I wonder whether he was down in the dressing room prior to kickoff, etc., etc. I'm sure the club will keep things close to their chest, but you'd have thought with him coming, he may have had his input, maybe directly to Young and Gabaldon rather than the players themselves. But interesting, the fact that Gabaldon and Young are still going to be in charge tomorrow at Brighton. It's getting a bit drawn out, this whole Russell Slade affair, isn't it?
Drawn out. I'm not sure if you go on the Carsey message board, but there was something interesting yesterday that apparently what Tan said, that if it's not resolved after Tuesday, he's not going to employ Tan, and he's going to tell Orient where to go, and he's going to look elsewhere for a manager. I'm not sure how much truth in that.
That would be a bit of a kick in the teeth for Slade after resigning from Orient, wouldn't it?
It would be, but. In football, nothing surprises you anymore. I mean, obviously, Orient are playing hardball and they want more money because they think Tan's got a few bob. They're obviously trying to rip us off. And which is unfair, because I met Mr. Slade after the game and his wife, and seems really nice, genuine person. And I would be very disappointed for him.
I think it's got a bit messy, Gwil, with the whole Slade appointment. You know, it should have been a bit cleaner, shouldn't it?
Yeah, it should have done. You know, I can't understand any other football club that doesn't drag on like this. I really don't know what's holding up the negotiations. You know, going back to the whole change of managership, I always feel uncomfortable during a change of manager at a football club, because I always worry about who they're going to bring in. But when, you know, obviously Ollie was on thin ice for, you know, a few weeks before he finally went. and I actually wanted Ollie to go because Pulis was available, and that was my reason. There's a great manager out there available. You know, let's move Ollie on, get Pulis in, and then when they didn't go for Pulis, I was heartbroken. Like, you know, it's just I really wanted them to go for Pulis, but. Yeah, you know, he's chosen Slade. Yeah, you know, we've all got to back him. There's no doubt about that. You've got to back the man. You know, my concern is that, you know, he's been lower leagues for his managerial career. And even if he's successful this season with us, imagine what it's going to be like for him if he gets us into the Premiership, the step up he's got to do. So, you know, basically all the managerial staff, because there's been a massive cull there of managerial staff.
Yeah, you were talking about this before we went on air, Gwilym, and you've got a list of...
It wasn't only Solskjaer it went. It was the assistant manager, Dempsey. It was the goalkeeping coach, Hartis. It was the first team coach, Keogh. The head of conditioning went, the academy manager went, and then in the background, the head of league went as well. So that, you know, the seven of them are gone. The only people there running the show at the moment are the ex-academy people. You know, obviously Scott Young and Gabardon are caretaker first team managers, and then you've got four of them have been promoted from the very young sides to act as caretaker first team coaches. So it's bizarre what's going on down there. You wonder with Slade, you know, whether he'll be given scope to bring in his own people. And, you know, his right-hand man, oddly enough, for the last
Kevin
few
Nugent.
Years has been Kevin Nugent, but I should think Nugent's quite happy getting the Orient job. So, yeah, it'd be interesting few days, but they do need to get it sorted out, and I can't believe how long it's dragged on for.
Are you worried about the void badger in the coaching staff? There's gonna be some positions to fill, you'd have thought.
Yes, a few, but with the rest of the fade situation, I think obviously Tan's been wanting him for a while, so we say we got the fans are going to back him with Ollie's back. That obviously he's paid them off. I say he's a lot of change, but we say we've got Scott Young gangs up on doing a good job at the moment, and you're just going to give the man a chance. I mean, wasn't his fault that he's coming to Ollie's.
No, you're right. You know, he's obviously going to jump at a chance of moving up to the Championship at his stage in his career. He's, you know, worked in the lower leagues for sort of 20 years or so, and you know, it's a fantastic opportunity for him. And he's got a squad. You know, he's going to inherit a big squad, probably bigger than he needs. But you know, there's definitely some quality there. And Tan has been quite clear in his interview today on Sky Sports that, you know, this is his choice. He was clear in saying that he didn't choose Dave Jones, he didn't choose Marky Mackay, he didn't choose Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and this is his appointment. So you'd have thought, you know, the buck stops here with not only with Slade and with Tan. You know, he's put his money where his mouth is. I'm not sure where he suddenly got this footballing knowledge to pick Russell Slade out of a very large pool of managers that are either available or you know, keen on managing in the Championship. But it's a huge job for Slade, isn't it? But a great opportunity with the players at his disposal.
It is, but then again, there's no guarantee that all the Cardiff fans will want Tony Pulis. There's no guarantee he's going to win promotion. Whoever comes in, no guarantee you had Lennon, Sherwood. There's no guarantee they're going to take a step.
No.
I think there's so many Cardiff City fans who one-eyed monsters, like the Blue Brigade or every game, you know, just back the club. Never mind his differences. Get behind the club. And I'm really... It's like last season, the atmosphere on Saturday was terrible again. Outsang by the Sheffield Wednesday fans all game. I mean, on Tuesday there were 6,500 people there, and the Bournemouth fans outsang us. I mean, we had about 200, like two coach loads, and they outsang us again. What is wrong with the Cardiff fans? We just sang. And once they started singing that I'm going to go with the club, then we said, oh, you'll always be rubbish. You know, get behind the team. There was no atmosphere in the first half hour until we scored. You know, the colour thing, it's another big issue. Get behind your club and support it. It doesn't matter if we paint pink or whatever. I doesn't wash with me, and the one-eyed monsters and the Echo, the fans who think they're fans and knowledgeable, haven't got a clue.
I think I understand what you're saying, Badge. I think from the club itself is it's a little bit broken,
can't,
is it?
Can put the money in.
Yeah.
To take the club over, everyone was happy with that. He changed the club. He said, "Look, in a year or so, you might not have a football club. We're going to change the red, and I pumped the money in." Everyone was happy then. And if when he sacked Malky and whatever, a couple weeks before. And then everyone jumped on the bandwagon about the colour. We still got the bluebird with everyone, and with the badge, in the 1920s, we didn't even have the bluebird on. It was from the museum or the city hall that was on the badge. So don't give me all that fans rubbish. We were Riverside AFC, and we were playing chocolate and orange. Do
you think, Badger, that, you know, if the results on the pitch improve, do you think the atmosphere will improve, or do you think that, you know, the fans are too divided?
No, I think it'll be exactly the same as last season. Until either Tan goes, and I knew it, and we go back to blue, the fans will always be divided. Mm. Simple as that. End of. Unfortunately.
Do you go to away games, Badger?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, you must agree that the fans are fully behind the team at away games. You know, at Derby, I thought we were fantastic up there.
Derby.
Well, the support was, you know, it was 100%, you know, behind the team. And, I don't think there was any...
So do you think it's right if people wear red shirts for people at Derby to have a go at them?
Well, I wasn't aware they did.
Well, there you are then. I was wearing a red shirt. And I got abuse from people I've known for 10, 15 years. Every time I go to a wedding, I wear a red shirt. You're picked out and go. And as Abraham had to go, it's some woman the other day calling us. So fans are so divided and will not get it because they're so one-eyed monsters.
Just
with this red and blue, they just will not let it leave, these people. They are so...
I think,
unbelievable.
I think, Badger, people are very firmly entrenched, aren't they, in either the red or blue camps, etc., etc.
Yeah,
and you're probably right. It's not going to fix itself until something happens, like when Tan
and
leaves, etc.
I played for the clubs in the 80s.
Yeah.
So I know how much it means for the club.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying, the fans have got to get behind. And last season, when the club got relegated, the players hated all this, and I don't think it helped. And I blame the fans on last season getting this relegated. More than anything else as well, because you don't get behind. You've got to be united. You've got to look at Crystal Palace fans and everyone. Even, you know, we had a go at Sheffield Wednesday, at least they were behind their team.
Yeah, I would agree. In the Premiership, we were a split club, and yes, you're right to point out Crystal Palace. I personally think we're a better football club than Crystal Palace, but yeah,
it doesn't matter if you think we're better. They're in the Premiership. They're in the Premiership. We're not.
Yeah, they finished halfway up the Premiership.
You cannot argue with that. They're in the Premiership.
Badger, let's move on just before we let you go. Two huge away games coming up. Obviously, Brighton tomorrow and Blackpool on Friday. What would be an acceptable return from those two games for you?
4 points.
I'm guessing that would be a draw tomorrow and win at Blackpool. You know, I don't suppose it matters how it comes, but is that where
the, you know, how it comes? I mean, hopefully we'll get the 4 points, and we got a 2 week break, and the slate comes in. Hopefully, you got 2 weeks to work with the squad, sort out, and hopefully all the fans can get behind the club. That's all I'm asking, is for the fans to back whoever, as I say. Tan said he hasn't employed the last two managers, Malky or Solskjaer. Look what's happened. So he's picked someone. He's put the money in. We were all happy to take his money. So let's remember that. Where would we be? Do you want to be in the conference, or do you want to be where we are now? Look at the money we spent the last 2.5 seasons. Cardiff fans have very, very short memories.
Badger, thanks for coming on the show, and we'll speak to you again soon, I'm sure.
Speak to you again soon, man.
Cheers, Badger.
All the best.
Bye-bye. That's Badger on the Cardiff City phone-in. Some strong views on the situation at Cardiff City, which is we're ongoing soap opera, aren't we? So if you got if you agree with Badger or you got some different views, please give us a call in the studio. 01443 654 654, the number to call, 01443 654 654. My name's Mark Watkins, and joining me in the studio tonight is Gwilym Rees. Badger mentioned then the international break. It will be a good opportunity. There'll be obviously a few players that will be going off to represent their countries, but it will be an opportunity, providing Slade is in place, to get to know the players, to get to know him, and him to get to know the players.
The international break's probably coming at exactly the right time as far as Cardiff City are concerned.
Yeah.
Like you said, it gives the new manager 2 weeks to settle down with or settle in with whoever hasn't gone away with the international squads. Be quite a few will be going away, Mark. There's. I think it was about 8 or 9, isn't it? Because the under-21s are playing as well, so we lose the youngsters as well. But no, it'd be a new manager coming in. I'm sure he would welcome that if there was a time to come into a club. I'd say just before the international break.
Do you think there'll be a clean slate for the squad? You've got people like Young and Gabadon who are supposedly going to be involved in the coaching setup under Slade. They've obviously showed their disapproval last week for people like Kimbo Young and Guerra when they got hauled off. Do you think Slade will be influenced by that? Is he going to come in and basically say, you're all at an even keel, you've all got an equal chance here?
Man management wise, that's what he needs to do, I think. He needs to go in there and tell them all, right, we all start from a clean slate. And, that will get the whole squad on side, particularly the ones out of the team at the moment. That would get them on side straight away. But obviously, he's got to make some quick decisions. He would be foolish not to speak to Gabadon and Young about the attributes of various players. With the best will in the world, he's been fully focused on a league lower.
Yeah.
He's
not going to know the players, is he?
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought. He obviously watches the games, but it hasn't been his focus, is it? So that would be another concern.
And somebody like Kimbo Young, he came into the club and he was used sparingly at first, wasn't he, by Malky Mackay? Whether it was a Malky signing or a Tan signing or whatever, I don't know. But in the latter part of the season when they won the championship, him and Jordan Mutch came into the fore and really, took control of the midfield as in the run-in. And there were certainly signs that Kimbo Young was turning out to be a promising player. Seems to have gone backwards now, doesn't he? Didn't contribute an awful lot last season, and now seems to be a million miles away from the squad.
Yeah, that's right. These guys need to be playing every week, Mark.
Yeah.
They simply can't. There's 30 of them, and they can't all be playing every week, but a lot of them need to be. Kimbo went to the World Cup, he didn't play that many minutes, did he?
No.
And it was hard for him to, make his mark on that stage. And then he comes back to Cardiff then, and... he's been pretty average in the games he has been selected. I think he's played in some of the League Cup games, and hasn't really been up to the mark. But we know he's got the ability, but they're not playing every week. And what he needs to do is get 6 or 7 of them out on loan, I would have thought, so they are they can get the games in, and then he kind of needs to take a view on it in January when the transfer window comes on. Get rid of a few.
It certainly needs to be a clear out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does need to be.
It's identifying the players that you need to get rid of, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know if. I don't know if he wants these kind of solid, these solid midfield players that stick their feet in and what have you. But we got a few ball players there, haven't we?
Yeah.
Whittingham, Noon, this Ravi Morrison. They've all got twinkle toes, haven't they? And it depends on whether that's Slade's type of player.
And you wonder, obviously, Solskjaer's gone now, and there were obviously questions about, his leadership and his abilities from the fans. Even last season, we probably went downhill when Solskjaer came in rather than improved, he came to a club that was, hovering above the relegation places, and we ended up finishing bottom. And the signings he brought in certainly didn't show an awful lot last year. Dali was probably the one bright light.
As the last caller alluded to, he came into a seriously fractured club last year.
Yeah, difficult position for Solskjaer as well.
It was. Malky at the time was seriously popular with the fans.
Yeah.
Tan wasn't. And still
but the fans weren't unhappy with Solskjaer, were they? I think everyone wanted Solskjaer to succeed.
Oh, they did, and really nice guy, and he
came with a reputation.
He appreciated the fans, But when you were watching his teams play football, you never knew what
lacked
was coming.
A structure.
Yeah,
but do you wonder why the philosophy of, obviously he was allowed to bring in players, you know, by the dozen in the summer. There were clearly some questions about his, you know, his capabilities then, probably from Tan. Yeah. There were rumours that, you know, Solskjaer was thinking of stepping down prior to when he did. Yeah. So there must have been doubts from him as well. I just wonder what the whole philosophy was, the sheer volume of players that were brought into the club.
But the other thing was, he signed players. I remember when he signed Ken Wynne-Jones, he was signing this, you know, big brute of a centre forward to keep us in the division. And it transpires, well, months and months later, Solskjaer says, well, Ken Wynne wasn't fit last season. Mm. Well, why did we sign him if he wasn't fit?
And Odemwingie went off to Stoke and scored goals.
And it was, I don't know, it just seemed bizarre. You know, he brought his Norwegian players in, and, you know, in fairness, Matt Starley's been a revelation. But, the other two, you know, one doesn't get in the team, the other one's been loaned out. And, I don't know, it just, the signings he made.
You wonder whether he just tried to throw as much as he could at it and hopefully he'd come up with, you know, something that worked.
Yeah,
but
I think you're right. You could have certainly done with Ravi Morrison last season, couldn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's go back to the callers. We got Hal Williams on the phone. Hi, Hal.
Evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good after Saturday's results.
It was vast improvement, wasn't it? It was difficult to get worse, to be honest, after the last few matches. But there seemed to be a structure and an organisation the way we played.
Players playing in their correct positions.
Well, yeah, that's I think it's always been a bugbear of football fans, hasn't it? That managers somehow sometimes seem to think that players can suddenly fit into roles they're not accustomed to, and Solskjaer was certainly guilty of that.
Yeah, well, he was the Bondi tinker man, wasn't he?
He certainly was.
I think it was good to see Craig Noon back in the side. He didn't last the whole game, unfortunately, what was his lack of games, but good to have him back. And certainly one of the Morrisons that came on done well. So how many Morrisons there were on the pitch?
Two for Cardiff. I just was there some playing for Sheffield? I missed that. No, I don't think there were any for Sheffield, were there?
Oh, it must have been the own goal.
I think it was, yeah. But, Noon certainly needs matches, doesn't he, to get his sharpness. He's certainly not there yet, but he's if he can stay fit, he's a fantastic addition to the first team.
He's our only player with real pace, isn't he?
Yeah. I tell you what I was impressed with on Saturday, and I thought he had his best game, and Gwil, you said you've been quite critical of him, was Bills Pilkington. He hasn't got the natural ball ability and speed that Noon has got, but he seemed to stick to his task really well on Saturday. You know, stayed wide for certainly some of the time, and took his goal very well.
He did, and he covers the ground as well, doesn't he?
He works hard, doesn't he?
By all accounts, he's. I didn't realise, but at Norwich, he had quite a serious injury, and I wasn't aware of that.
And I'm guessing he probably needs games as much as probably Noon does, if that's the case. Well, what were your thoughts on him, Hal?
I thought he had a good game. I was listening to his interview on the TV after the match, and he had a good game. And like yourself, I didn't know about the injury. So, you know, I'm sure that only better he's going to get. And I'd like to keep this side now, keep it settled for the next few games, and go on a bit of a run. We shall see, though.
Yeah, the 5-4-1, which obviously was employed for the last two league games by Gabaldon and Scott Young, I think, you know, probably allows us to have a little bit more help in midfield, because, you know, the midfield is lightweight with people like Gunnarsson and Whittingham, you know, holding those two central midfield roles. That neither of them are natural sort of enforcers, are they? So, you know, having that extra man in there, whether it's Darley or Morrison or whoever, will probably, as Gwil mentioned, take a bit of pressure off them as well.
Yeah, well, you just wonder how long we're going to wait for Dickachoy to get fit.
Yeah, that's an odd one, isn't it?
A sweep dig or something about get the man before he fits.
Don't offer him Mars bars.
Yeah, I think Adeyemi can do the role as well.
He's a box to box player, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He just again, he hasn't. I don't know. It just all looks a bit disjointed with him. But he certainly puts the effort in. He covers the ground and. But I think we're the best of him is definitely to come, and he was well thought of at Birmingham, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. The whole Dickachoy saga, Howell, I think it's completely frustrating on a professional footballer. And I presume that, you know, this is all his problem is. He's kind of got himself fit when he's paid X thousand pounds a week for, you know, a relatively short career.
Well, it's not a professional attitude to take in the close season. Surely, you know, if you're a professional footballer in the close season, you'd expect to keep yourself fully fit. Okay, he's probably a big lad and he likes the odd pie or two, but if you're a professional, you don't do that sort of thing, do you?
No. Yeah, how unfit can you get in 8 weeks? You know, they finish it at the beginning of May. And
I could give it a go.
they're back in training by the end of June, aren't they? First of July. I just
maybe that's one of the reasons why the fitness coach and all the other backroom staff have gone, because Tan is wondering, you know, because there does seem to be some fitness issues with our players, doesn't there?
I looked at a stat and we haven't scored a late goal in a match, have we?
And that was something that we had under Malky, wasn't it? Yeah, you know, an expert at, you know, teams going for 95 minutes and you know, grabbing results in the last few minutes. So we seem to have gone completely backwards in the fitness stakes.
Yeah, I'm sure I read somewhere that we haven't scored a late goal, but we've conceded five, which probably tells you all you need to know about the fitness.
Worrying stat, Hal?
Yeah, I've been sort of saying this for quite some time about their fitness. It just proves that they're not 100% fit. Otherwise, these late goals they're conceding, they're not lasting the full 90 minutes. Mm. So they've got to get full fitness, and then we'll see how we'll perform then for the rest of the season. But they've obviously got to concentrate on fitness as well.
Mm. Looking at the stats in the programme that was published for the Sheffield game, we haven't scored a goal in the last half an hour of a game. But we've let in five this season. So
the other thing that worries
those
me
are league games, obviously.
The other thing that worries me a little bit, and obviously Derby was the first game under Gabaldon and Young, so it perhaps a little bit harsh to judge it. And Derby are a very good home side, but I think we had something like 27 or 23% possession in that game, playing a 5-4-1. You'd have thought, you know, in these two away games coming up against Brighton and Blackpool, you know, we need to get a fair share of possession. Mm. And if we're going to play 5-4-1, you'd expect to get it.
Yeah, what was it, 27% possession at Derby? It was something. I think it was 33% against.
I think right off Bournemouth. I think we'll just count that as a bad day at the office. I think.
I think it was more even.
It was better on Saturday, wasn't it?
I think it was more even. I think it might have been as much as 45% against Sheffield.
I think that's been a problem all season, hasn't it, Howell? Is that, you know, certainly away from home.
45%, 55%. Yeah. That's something I was looking on the website.
Well, Cardiff were 45, were they?
Yeah. So it's better, but I told me you'd expect to have the bulk of the play, and not you know, sort of catch them on the break.
Mm.
But as I say, I'm sure that with the improved fitness as the weeks now go on, I'd expect those stats to change.
Yeah, we seem to be playing catch up, don't we? In some respects, certainly as you say, in fitness, and again, maybe a part of the issue of having such a huge squad is that players are not playing week in, week out, so they're going to take longer to reach their peak.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. That's right. I just want to touch on the colour thing. I won't go on about it too much, but our nickname is the Bluebird.
I agree.
And it was a play in Cardiff, wasn't it, in 1909, called the Bluebird.
That's the most likely.
So,
yeah,
you know, the
most
history is there that we're in blue. But that's all I'll say on the matter.
No, well, I'm with you. You're with you, Hal. And as for the chocolate and amber, we were a local league side called Riverside in chocolate and amber. We were always blue as Cardiff City. So
yeah, it was I think about 1908, but it was sort of about 1911 or round about then that they changed their name when Cardiff became a city.
Yeah.
And you know, I've always known them be the Bluebirds. You know, I don't dislike red. It's obviously, red has a lot of connection with Wales, but you know, when you've got a team whose nickname is the Bluebirds, it sort of points in the direction that we should be playing in blue, really, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen Vincent Tan's interview on Sky Sports earlier.
I have
you heard
yeah.
about it? It wasn't a great deal to be said in there, to be honest. But he was obviously put a few questions about, you know. is he looking to sell Cardiff, etc., etc., and is he, you know, fallen out of love with football? And Tan was quite interesting to hear his comments on that. You know, he seemed to suggest that if we were to get to the Premier League, he may sell. But if he did that, he'd be looking to buy another club in the UK. He's got another £1 billion he's made from his business, etc., etc., and he's also looking to and buy another club in Europe and possibly the MLS. And he was quite keen to state that he's fallen in love with football. It's obviously now taken up a lot of his time and a lot of his money. Whether he's actually in a position to know an awful lot about football yet after such a short time taking an interest in the game is another thing. Just interesting that, you know, he's looking to buy more clubs, Hal. Perhaps he should buy a red one next time if he's going to buy one in the UK.
Sounds like a golfer, doesn't he? Buying more clubs.
Collecting clubs.
He hasn't been watching the Ryder Cup on a weekend, has he?
I don't know. Well, the Ryder Cup, the Europe Ryder Cup team had a lovely blue and white kit, but I won't go on about that.
Yeah, I said that to the wife. I was saying the blue and the
white,
yellow.
The white.
I said,
yeah.
Doesn't that look really smart?
It was lucky. But, it was lucky for Europe.
Oh yes, And a Welshman won it, didn't he?
He did indeed. Yeah, Jamie Donaldson. Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
So, the fact that Tan is still obviously outwardly keen on football. He's obviously made some mistakes at Cardiff. Whether he'd actually willing to admit that is another thing entirely. Bearing in mind that suddenly from going from top managers and spending a tremendous amount of money on people like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer and the players he's brought in, we're going for, you'd have thought, the cheaper end of the market in Russell Slade. And there's been some tremendous cost savings behind the scenes. Gwilym mentioned the staff that have left and also a lot of ground staff are being laid off as well. Is this a long-term exit strategy, or is it just Tan doing what he wants to do?
I can see him staying around for a little while longer. You're saying about Russell Slade, the rumour has it that Glenn Roeder had some sort of influence on Tan with that, but that's just what you read on the message boards. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I can certainly see him selling up as and when we get back to the Premiership, but until then, he's not going to be going very far. But hopefully, we'll get back into the Premiership. Say, still early days, and fingers crossed. With the improved performances between now and the end of the season, we'll run it close. But nothing's guaranteed in football, as we know. But and until we're back in the Premiership, he's going to be in and around everywhere. Whether he actually comes to many games in Cardiff, God only knows. But still,
well, you look at the league table, and there's Cardiff a slap bang in the middle, really, aren't we? Points wise, and we could drop into the bottom three or climb into the top three very easily with a run of results.
I think it's. It's only sort of the end of September, going into October now.
Yeah.
There's loads of games left, and there really are going to be some strange results, week in, week out. So
well, you look
we've just got to aim for consistency, tighten it up at the back, and just keep a settled side, and hopefully not too many injuries, and, hopefully we'll run it pretty close this season, but we'll have to wait and see on that one.
Just before we let you go, Hal, Brighton and Blackpool, of course, to come this week. What are your thoughts?
Well, the last twice that we've played Brighton, I think we drew 0-0 last time and 2-2 before then. So.
And they're struggling for goals, Brighton.
Pardon?
They're struggling for goals, Brighton.
Yeah. I think it's got a draw written all over it. I can see us getting a draw down there and win up in Blackpool.
There we go, a rare win in Blackpool. I still don't think we won there a couple of years ago, but I might be wrong. Hal, thanks very much for coming on the show, as always.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Hal.
Cheers.
Good night. That's Hal on tonight's Cardiff City phone-in. Your thoughts about the next two games, Gwil? Has it got 0-0 written all over it tomorrow?
To be honest, I think a draw's the most likely result. If it hadn't been for Hudson scoring a last-minute goal at Wolves, every away game this season would have been a draw. So I think a draw is likely down at Brighton. You would hope they could go to the bottom club and win, but you know, I guess two draws wouldn't be if you were having a bet on it.
And the season as a whole, you know, where we are at the moment, would you accept playoffs? If you know,
of course I would. Yeah,
yeah. You're not thinking that we should still be going top two.
At the start of the season, I looked at a very talented squad, and I thought we'd be there or thereabouts. I certainly didn't think we'd walk away with it, because I didn't have much confidence in the manager.
Yeah.
If we'd got Pulis last week, I'd be sitting here saying we could win the championship, and away we go. Because I do think he's got that ability to turn a club round, and all the attributes Cardiff need, which are tactical nous, organisation, motivation. You know,
brought it all to the table.
Pulis has got that in spades, and Russell Slade may have it.
He's just an unknown quantity, isn't he? That's the key.
He's an unknown quantity. So I would like to think we could get to the playoffs. Not sure if I can fancy Wembley again. There's been too many bad days over at Wembley over the last years, isn't there?
I suppose the only thing we can hope for is if we are at Wembley in a team that play in red and we lose the toss and we have to play in blue, God help us if we lose. You have to think about these things. So 0-0 tomorrow, a draw tomorrow, and Blackpool, hopeful of a win.
One thing, we got Joe Lewis in goals up there, and I don't think he's not allowed to play, is he? He's not allowed to play, so they'll have a reserve goalkeeper in, so that's got to be good, isn't it? So no, let's go to Blackpool hoping for a win, eh?
Okay, good stuff. Gwilt, thanks as always for coming on the show.
Enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Monday night's Cardiff City phone-in on GTFM 107.9. We'll be back same time on Friday evening. Thanks for listening, and good night.